Hi, this is Chris Bolin from ADI Lumberyard, and you're listening to WGXC Acra Catskill Hudson.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acra, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show on Thanksgiving Day. We're going to hear all sorts of radio traditions on the WGXC Morning Show, radio traditions for Thanksgiving, including we'll hear Alice's Restaurant from Arlo Guthrie, we'll hear the Turkey Drop from WKRP in Cincinnati, we'll also hear once and twice and many times told tales from Rush Limbaugh, Dan Seward, and others on the radio today on Thanksgiving on WGXC on the Morning Show. It all begins after the local news, which is next. Stay tuned.
On air, in air, channel connection, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. The network, network, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through, and the moon turns to blood. This is the network, network, and the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through, and the moon turns to blood. This is the network, network.
This is the news.
Turns to blood.
This is the network.
Runs through.
This is the news.
Turns to blood.
This is the network.
Producer Throwing Snow draws inspiration and samples from nature, and we'll hear how random patterns can mesh together on the next Deep Threes. Plus music from Mark Borecka, Leslie Barber, and the Sound Carriers. Deep Threes. Music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support has been provided by Dedicated Presentation Solutions. Allow DPS to turn your audiovisual how-do-eyes into here's-how-you-cans. Visit dedicatedpresentation.com or call 845-475-8465 for more information. Dedicated Presentation Solutions, your audiovisual partner.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Marcus DeGrazia Acupuncture of Austerlitz, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org. and click donate. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. Andrea Macko is reporting for Porcupine Soup that three shovel-ready projects in Greene County have been awarded more than $1.8 million by New York State through the Regional Economic Development Council initiative. Announced this week by Governor Kathy Hochul, a total of $81 million will go to support 97 projects statewide. Local awards include $750,000 for Local Astoria, $360,000 for the Thomas Cole National Historic Site, and $750,000 for Wilder Wyndham. Quote, the pandemic toll touched every corner of the state and every sector of New York's economy, and as a result, we must ensure that our recovery does the same, unquote, Hochul said. The Local Astoria project will transform the vacant Motor Lodge on Route 23B in Catskill into a four-season tourist destination. Plans feature 25 to 30 newly renovated or constructed cabins, a restaurant, a pool and bar, a spa cabins, hot tubs, a cold plunge tank, saunas, and a yoga platform. The funding awarded to Thomas Cole National Historic Site in Catskill will be used for a 1,800-square-foot visitor center with exhibit space and outdoor terrace, as well as facility upgrades to buildings at the Spring Street site that will increase energy efficiency and improve climate conditions for historic preservation. Infrastructure upgrades will improve visitor safety and site accessibility. Wilder Wyndham will use its award to renovate the historic Thompson House on Route 296 into a tourist attraction that will create jobs on the mountaintop. Thompson House is a 110-room full-service resort on 20 acres that was owned by the same family for 140 years. Wilder Hotels of Los Angeles purchased the property in early 2021. This year, $150 million in grant funds from Empire State Development were made available. Additionally, projects within each region are eligible for a share of $75 million in Excelsior Jobs Program tax credits to help attract and grow business in their region. Read more about this story at porcupinesoup.com.
The Daily Freeman reports that Ulster County announced two more deaths from coronavirus on November 23rd, and the number of active cases there has tripled since November 4th. Ulster County reported 736 cases, more than three times the county's November 4th total of 240. Dutchess County, November 23rd, reported a one-day increase in active cases from 724 to 731. Columbia County's Health Department reported 52 more cases on November 22nd and 28 more on November 23rd. Those numbers are closer to what the county reported in January when vaccines were just becoming available. Hudson City Hall was closed November 23rd because of a COVID-19 outbreak and will stay shut through November 26. Across the Hudson River, the numbers are growing too, with Greene County Public Health reporting November 19th, 195 active cases, including 54 new reports in the prior 2 days. Greene County Administrator Sean Groden said, and I quote, "I'm always concerned about the numbers. We do seem to be paralleling the counties around us. I think that people are tired of COVID and they're relaxing and maybe they're not wearing masks as often as they should. We're just tired of it. Everybody wants to go back to normal. But it's safe to say that COVID is not going away. It's not going to ebb down slowly, slowly. I'm not sure if it's mutating, which is causing it to hold on," end quote. Greene County Legislature Chair Patrick Linger said the county is not planning to take any action, even with the increased number of cases locally. Linger said, and I quote, "Not at this point. We've held other vaccine clinics recently that only had from 2 to 11 people that showed up. That's a waste of resources as far as I'm concerned. People can schedule an appointment at just about any pharmacy to get the vaccine. So when we put forth the effort to do a clinic and only a couple of people show up, that's not the best use of our resources," end quote. The only specific action Greene County officials are taking in the face of their rising case counts is words. Groden said, and I quote, "You walk into a store and probably 80% of the people aren't masked up. That's where you should be masked up, where mass levels of people are gathered. Just throw a damn mask on, will you please? Don't take the chance, because I've seen a lot of people with it, and it sucks," end quote.
Jeanette Wolfberg is reporting for the Columbia paper that the Hudson City School District Board of Education is anticipating several vacancies during the next 2 months. A new board president, a new superintendent, a new high school associate principal, and a new board clerk. Current board president Carrie Oddie will resign effective January 18th, and her successor will likely be someone already serving. Her exit will leave the board short one member. The board is asking that anyone who wants to fill the vacancy to submit a letter of interest to the board clerk by December 16th. Oddie is a long-time board member, having filled a seat for more than 10 years. She was appointed in November 2011 to fill the vacancy created by the death of her husband, Jeffrey. He succumbed to illness that year, 3 months after he was elected board president. Oddie was chosen president by her fellow board members in July 2015. District Superintendent Maria L. Suttmeyer will retire in early January. Board member Mark DePace reported there were 19 applicants for the district's top spot. 8 of the 19 were selected to be interviewed during the week of November 15th. DePace said the final decision is anticipated around December 6th. William Wood, an associate principal at Hudson High School, has resigned effective December 3rd. He was hired as principal of Quaestar 3 BOCES Columbia Green Education Center in Greenport. The November 16th board meeting was Leslie Kuhn's last as board clerk. She has served as clerk of the board for 6 years. She will continue to serve the district as secretary to the business administrator. Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
Roger Hannigan-Gilson reports in the Times Union that Hudson's Common Council voted unanimously last week to enact a tough anti-eviction law because of the current local housing crisis. Claire Cousins of the Hudson-Catskill Housing Coalition said the law, and I quote, is an acknowledgement of the crisis that our community is currently in. We believe that our city understands what is at stake and is taking the necessary steps to make Hudson an equitable, fair place for people to remain citizens in, end quote. Landlords will now bring eviction proceedings in front of a city judge in the rapidly gentrifying community of 5900. Tenants can now only be evicted for legitimate reasons outlined in the law. And if non-payment of rent is the issue, they cannot be kicked out if the rent is being raised more than 5% a year. Landlords get an exemption on the 5% rule if improvements are made to the property. Hudson's Common Council passed a similar law before, but Hudson Mayor Kamal Johnson vetoed that effort, saying he wanted to give tenants more rights. Similar so-called good cause eviction laws have passed recently in Albany, Newburgh, and Poughkeepsie. Of these four cities, Hudson's version of the law is the only one that does not allow landlords to remove tenants if the property is being sold. Johnson said, and I quote, "What we're seeing is a lot of people buying property, displacing tenants, and flipping them for a higher price," end quote. A housing report issued earlier this year said Columbia County housing prices rose 40% in 12 months. Hudson will hold a public hearing on the law next month before Johnson can sign the bill into law. Editor's note, Johnson is a WGXE volunteer programmer, and you can read more about this story in the Times Union.
Chloe Callahan is reporting for the Times Union that Danskammer Energy announced November 24th its intention to appeal State Department of Environmental Conservation's decision to deny an air permit for its new natural gas-fired power plant near Newburgh. The DEC in October struck down the company's proposed project in the Mid-Hudson Valley, saying it did not comply with New York's new climate law. The Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act was adopted in 2019 and calls for sharp reductions in the use of fossil fuels, such as the natural gas that would power the Danskammer facility. Quote, "We believe DEC is holding Danskammer to standards that don't even exist because the Climate Action Council has yet to issue guidance on what it means to be consistent with the state's new climate law," unquote, said Bill Reed, CEO of Danskammer Energy, in a press release. The energy company has been seeking authorization to construct a new power generation facility near Newburgh in Orange County and submitted its application to the DEC in December 2019. Quote, "The DEC's decision to deny our Title V air permit was unjustified and not in the best interest of New York residents or their future power needs," unquote, Reed said. Other groups, including Orange County Partnership, the Hudson Valley Building and Construction Trades Council, expressed support for Danskammer Energy's decision to appeal. The DEC's decision in October came after a comprehensive review of Danskammer's application and supporting materials, as well as more than 4,500 public comments received on the project between June and September of this year. Danskammer estimates that its proposed natural gas-fired combined cycle power generation facility could provide up to 600 megawatts of power. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Amelia Teasdale reports for the Columbia paper that both the Scenic Hudson activist and the Germantown board oppose plans to construct a mooring for barges in the Hudson River near the town. The mooring would cover nearly an acre in size for up to 6 large barges. Scenic Hudson says they could be empty vessels waiting to be filled with loose sand and gravel at quarry docks in Catskill and Hudson, or full and awaiting transport. The group is particularly concerned that the mooring will be seen from the Olana State Historic Site. Scenic Hudson says, and I quote, "The view from Olana's front porch, a place frequented by many visitors, includes the Hudson River as well as a direct view of the proposed barge mooring site," end quote, which would be a, and I quote, "discordant element that could be present for extended periods of time." In light of these impacts and the overwhelming opposition to the proposal from Germantown residents whose riverfront park is very close to the mooring site, Scenic Hudson has recommended consideration of an alternative location. The large dock at the former Atlas Cement plant, about 1.3 miles south of the quarry jetty in Catskill, end quote. New York State Maritime Highway Transportation, a tug and barge operation from Troy, said that the docks at the quarries at Peckham in Catskill and Colaruso in Hudson are, and I quote, "narrow sections of the river immediately adjacent to the navigation channel. The proximity of the nav channel does not afford a safe berth for multiple barges," end quote. So the new mooring would provide a, and I quote, "lay berth for barges while waiting for berth availability at the quarry's loading facility," end quote. On November 9th, the Germantown Board passed a resolution saying that the mooring, and I quote, "may interfere with boating associated with the New York State boating launch at Lasher Park, may delay or complicate first responders, marine responses, and training at the park, as well as cause bank erosion." Read more about this story in the Columbia paper.
And the Daily Freeman rounds up what is closed for the Thanksgiving holiday, and that is banks are closed, the county offices are closed, federal offices are also closed, the financial markets are closed, there is no mail delivery on Thursday, November 25th. Metro North is on a Saturday schedule on Thursday and an expanded Saturday schedule on Friday. Schools are closed both days. State offices are also closed. And Trailways is on a regular schedule.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, Thanksgiving's Day, it will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 48 degrees. And then showers are likely mainly after 1 a.m. on Thursday night. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 36 degrees. And on Friday, there's a chance of rain showers before 9 a.m., then rain and snow showers between 9 a.m. and 10 p.m., then back to rain showers after 10 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature high near 41 degrees. And Friday night, a slight chance of snow showers before 1 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 27 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Today at WGXC 90.7 FM, you have tuned into all sorts of creative community voices, including Cheryl Kay at 10 a.m. She hosts the Situation Fluxus show. Today she talks with two members of the Montreal Jazz Trio, pianist Stephen Amaralt and bassist Adrian Vidotti, plus an interview with the award-winning Montreal-based saxophonist, composer, and bandleader Beth McKenna. That's at 10 a.m. on Situation Fluxus. At 11 a.m., we hear sounds from Ali Akbar Khan on the Transformational Listening Show. At noon, Brad Munkle in Greenville has the Ear Candy Show, and he's got a conversation with guitarist Leo Nocentelli of the Meters and bassist Cole Davis today on Ear Candy until 2 p.m. on the radio at WGXC. When it's time for What's the Frequency, Kenneth, the Thanksgiving edition of the show that sets the week's news to brand new music. At 3 p.m., it's time to turn on the news and hear about a Fight the Right to Party episode. And at 3:30 p.m., Jocko Wiener is the force behind this week's edition of the Radia Show. At 7 p.m. on Poet Radio, Chris Funkhauser speaks with Wanda Phipps and features her poetry. At 8 p.m., it's time for Rob Saver's overlooked 7th annual Trip to Fest of Intolerable Music on the radio, until 9 p.m. when we're live from Toronto with Andrew O'Connor and the Disco 3000 show, and then at 10 p.m., the Magic Stranger is in for Ted Barron tonight with the Magic Stranger show on the radio, live from somewhere in Columbia County, until midnight at WGXC 90.7 FM.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page. And copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
Recent work from Stephen Mark Klein is on display at the 510 Warren Street Gallery in Hudson, beginning Friday, December 3rd, and continuing through Sunday, December 26th. The show is called Berkshire Borderlands, and it's a series of prints and watercolors from Stephen Mark Klein, with an opening on December 4th during Hudson's Winter Walk. This is one of the many events on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. WGXC and Art Oh My welcome Phil Klein's Unsilent Night back to Ghent this year. WGXC will broadcast Phil Klein's Unsilent Night from Art Oh My in Ghent. The event is from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. on Saturday, December 4th. You can participate at Art Oh My. You're encouraged to bring a mobile phone, especially one with external speakers, or a boombox with a functioning tape deck. If you can't be there in person, you can tune in on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM. That's Unsilent Night from Phil Klein at Art Oh My and on the radio at WGXC, Saturday, December 4th, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m.
Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Thursday, Thanksgiving's Day, it will be partly sunny with a temperature high near 48 degrees. And then showers are likely mainly after 1 a.m. on Thursday night. It will be mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 36 degrees. And on Friday, there's a chance of rain showers before 9 a.m., then rain and snow showers between 9 a.m. and 10 p.m., then back to rain showers after 10 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with the temperature high near 41 degrees. And Friday night, a slight chance of snow showers before 1 a.m. It will be mostly cloudy with the temperature low of around 27 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nancy Barber and Bill Stone of Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
German measles, Russian flu, Montezuma's revenge. And why do we say a foreign word whenever someone sneezes?
Tomorrow, I'll take a look at swine flu up close and personal. This is Les Nesbitt.
Only the greatest promotion idea of all time.
Great.
All it's going to take is your complete cooperation, absolute secrecy, and 20 live turkeys.
Herb, you're in charge of getting those turkeys. You got them, big guy.
Well, it looks like this thing might work out for Carlson after all.
He's got two turkeys with him already.
Well, gentlemen, tomorrow is Turkey Day. I can almost feel that electricity in the air.
You know, I think I can feel it too, Mr. Carlson, if you'd let me know just a little something about it.
What? And let every station in this town find out about it? No siree. Use a haircut, Les. Did you get those turkeys?
Yeah, but it wasn't easy. When that farmer asked me what I wanted, with 20 live turkeys, I... I had to do some pretty fast talking, let me tell you.
What did you tell him?
I told him it was a secret.
All right, gentlemen, tomorrow I made up with the station call letters on it. W-K-R-P. Why does Les have to do a remote? Because this promotion is news, Andy. Big news.
All right, Travis, the newspaper's coming?
Nope.
No?
No, they said the giving away turkeys wasn't their idea of news.
By those fools. They'll be sorry.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's the situation, Captain?
This is Cheryl Kay, host of Situation Fluxus on WGXC, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. The show is a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more that airs on Thursdays at 10 a.m. and Fridays at 4 a.m. To contact us about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance at gmail.com or info at wgxc.org. Keep tuned in to 90.7 FM, wavefarm.org/listen, tune in, and on the Wavefarm radio app on your smartphone. Our website is wgxc.org.
Les, you still there?
Yes, Johnny.
You see anything yet?
No, there's quite a crowd, though. Where's the big guy?
I don't know where Carlson is, but we're coming to you right after this record, okay?
Okay, no problem. I can handle it.
Okay, real close. All right, fellow babies, and now it's time to go to our live remote man on the scene at the Pinedale Shopping Mall for the big WKRP turkey giveaway. So, take it away, Les Nessman.
This is Les Nessman, your man on the scene here at the Pinedale Shopping Center, where the excitement is mounting. We're here to witness the big WKRP turkey Thanksgiving giveaway.
Hey, you got permission to be out here?
What?
You're blocking my store here, buddy.
Don't you know who I am?
Huh?
I'm Les Nessman. I won the Buckeye News Hawk Award last year.
Good for you, Buckeye. Now get out of my doorway.
I'm sorry. Creep?
So far, so good, huh?
I'm here with hundreds of people who have gathered to witness what has been described as perhaps the greatest turkey event in Thanksgiving Day history. All we know for sure is that in a very few moments, there are going to be a lot of happy people out here. Now, the crowd is... The crowd is curious, but well-behaved. And I think I hear something now. The crowd is moving out into the parking area. And, oh yes, I can see it now. It's a helicopter. And it's coming this way.
A helicopter?
It's flying something behind it. I can't quite make it out. It's a large banner. And it says, Happy Thanksgiving. From W-K-R-P. What a sight, ladies and gentlemen, what a sight. The copter seems to be circling the parking area now. I guess it's looking for a place to land. No, something just came out of the back of the helicopter. It's a dark object. Perhaps a skydiver plummeting to the earth from only 2,000 feet in the air. No parachutes yet.
Those can't be skydivers. I can't tell just yet what they are, but...
Oh, my God, they're turkeys! Oh, Johnny, can you get this? Oh, they're crashing to the earth right in front of my eyes. One just went through the windshield of a parked car. Johnny, this is terrible.
The cars running around pushing each other? Oh, my goodness. Oh, the humanity.
turkeys are hitting the ground like sacks of wet cement. I don't know how much longer the crowd is running for their lives. I think I'm going to step inside. I can't stay out here and watch this any longer. No, I can't go in there.
Children are searching for their mothers, and oh, not since the Hindenburg tragedy has there been anything like this. I don't know how much longer I can hold my position here, Johnny. The crowd...
Les. Les, are you there? Les isn't there. Thanks for that on-the-spot report, Les. For those of you who just tuned in, the Pinedale Shopping Mall has just been bombed with live turkey. Film at 11.
Look, Mr. Mayor, yes, there was some damage, sir, but no one was hurt.
Mr. Cawley, we know what the Humane Society stands for.
The National Guard? No, sir, the National Guard, I don't think it's that serious.
Well, Mr. Cawley, a lot of turkeys don't make it through Thanksgiving.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, thank you very much.
Goodbye. That was the Humane Society. They sounded pretty upset.
It should have worked.
Can I help you?
No, I'm fine. It was the most unusual promotion idea I ever heard of. Never been anything else like it. No, I don't suppose there has. I thought it would work. I planned this thing right down to the last detail. It was perfect. Where'd you get those birds? Les, are you okay?
I don't know. A man and his two children tried to kill me. After the turkeys hit the pavement, the crowd kind of scattered, but some of them tried to attack me. I had to jam myself into a phone booth. Then Mr. Carlson had the helicopter land in the middle of the parking lot. I guess he thought he could save the day by turning the rest of the turkeys loose. Gets pretty strange after that.
Now it gets strange.
Yeah, right.
No, Les, come on now, tell us the rest.
I really don't know how to describe it. It was like the turkeys mounted a counterattack. It was almost as if they were organized. As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
This song is called Alice's Restaurant. It's about Alice and the restaurant. But Alice's Restaurant is not the name of the restaurant. That's just the name of the song. And that's why I call the song Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Now it all started two Thanksgivings ago. It was on 2 years ago on Thanksgiving when my friend and I went up to visit Alice at the restaurant. But Alice doesn't live in the restaurant. She lives in the church nearby the restaurant in the bell tower with her husband Ray and Fatsha's a dog. And living in the bell tower like that, they got a lot of room downstairs where the pews used to be. And having all that room, seeing as how they took out all the pews, they decided that they didn't have to take out their garbage for a long time. We got up there, we found all the garbage in there, and we decided it'd be a friendly gesture for us to take the garbage down to the city dump. So we took the half a ton of garbage, put it in the back of a red VW microbus, took shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, and headed on toward the city dump. Well, we got there, and there's a big sign and a chain across the dump saying closed on Thanksgiving, and we had never heard of a dump closed on Thanksgiving before, and with tears in our eyes, we drove off into the sunset looking for another place to put the garbage. We didn't find one. Till we came to a side road, and off the side of the side road was another 15-foot cliff, and at the bottom of the cliff was another pile of garbage, and we decided that one big pile's better than two little piles, and rather than bring that one up, we decided to throw ours down. That's what we did. Drove back to the church, had a Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, went to sleep and didn't get up until the next morning when we got a phone call from Officer Obie. He said, "Kid, we found your name on an envelope at the bottom of a half a ton of garbage, and just wanted to know if you had any information about it." And I said, "Yes, sir, Officer Obie, cannot tell a lie. I put that envelope under that garbage." After speaking over for about 45 minutes on the telephone, we finally arrived at the truth of the matter and said that we had to go down and pick up the garbage, and also had to go down and speak to him at the police officer station. So we got in the red VW microbus with the shovels and rakes and implements of destruction, headed on toward the police officer station. Now, friends, there was only one or two things that Obie could have done at the police station, and the first was that he could have given us a medal for being so brave and honest on the telephone, which wasn't very likely, and we didn't expect it. Another thing was that he could have bawled us out and told us never to be seen driving garbage around the vicinity again, which is what we expected. But when we got to the police officer station, there was a third possibility that we hadn't even counted upon, and we was both immediately arrested, handcuffed. And I said, "Obie, I don't think I can pick up the garbage with these handcuffs on." He said, "Shut up, kid. Get in the back of the patrol car." And that's what we did, and sat in the back of the patrol car and drove to the, quote, scene of the crime, unquote. I want to tell you about the town of Stockbridge, Massachusetts, where this happened. Here they got three stop signs, two police officers and one police car, but when we got to the scene of the crime, there was five police officers and three police cars, being the biggest crime of the last 50 years, and everybody wanted to get in a newspaper story about it. And they was using up all kinds of cop equipment that they had hanging around the police officer station. They was taking plaster, tire track, footprints, dog smelling prints, and they took 27 8x10 color glossy photographs with circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. Took pictures of the approach, the getaway, the northwest corner, and southwest corner, and that's not to mention the aerial photography. After the ordeal, we went back to the jail. Obie said he was going to put us in the cell. Said, "Kid, I'm going to put you in the cell. I want your wallet and your belt." And I said, "Obie, I can understand you want my wallet, so I don't have any money to spend in the cell, but what do you want my belt for?" And it said, "Kid, we don't want any hangings." I said, "Obie, did you think I was going to hang myself for littering?" Obie said he was making sure, and friends, Obie was, because he took out the toilet seat so I couldn't hit myself over the head and drown. And he took out the toilet paper so I couldn't bend the bars, roll the toilet paper out the window, slide down the roll, and have an escape. Obie was making sure, and it was about 4 or 5 hours later that Alice, remember Alice? It's a song about Alice. Alice came by and with a few nasty words to Obie on the side, bailed us out of jail. We went back to the church, had another Thanksgiving dinner that couldn't be beat, and didn't get up until the next morning when we all had to go to court. We walked in, sat down. Obie came in with the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back each one. Sat down. Man came in, said, "All rise." We all stood up, and Obie stood up with the 27 8x10 covered glossy pictures, and the judge walked in, sat down with the C&I dog, and he sat down. We sat down. Obie looked at the C&I dog. Sent the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and looked at the senile dog. And then at the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and began to cry, cause Obie came to the realization that it was a typical case of American blind justice, and there wasn't nothing he could do about it. And the judge wasn't gonna look at the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, explaining what each one was to be used as evidence against us. And we was fined $50 and had to pick up the garbage in the snow, but that's not what I came to tell you about. Came to talk about the draft. We got a building down New York City, it's called Whitehall Street, where you walk in and you get injected, inspected, detected, infected, neglected, and selected. I went down to get my physical examination one day, and I walked in, I sat down, got good and drunk the night before, so I looked and felt my best when I went in that morning. Cause I wanted to look like the all-American kid from New York City. Man, I wanted to feel like the all, I wanted to be the all-American kid from New York. And I walked in, sat down, I was hung down, brung down, hung up, and all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things. And I walked in, I sat down, they gave me a piece of paper, said, kid, see the psychiatrist, room 604. And I went up there, I said, shrink, I want to kill. I want to see blood and gore and guts and veins in my teeth. Eat dead, burnt bodies. I mean, kill. And I started jumping up and down, yelling, kill. And it started jumping up and down with me, and we was both jumping up and down, yelling, kill. And the sergeant came over, pinned the medal on me, set me down the hall, said, you're our boy. And you feel too good about it. Proceeded on down the hall, getting more injections, inspections, detections, neglections, and all kinds of stuff that they was doing to me at the thing there. And I was there for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. I was there for a long time, going through all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly things. And I was just having a tough time there. And they was inspecting, injecting every single part of me, and they wasn't leaving no part untouched. Proceeded through, and I when finally came to see the very last man, I walked in, sat down after a whole big thing there, and I walked up and said, what do you want? He said, kid, we only got one question. Have you ever been arrested? And I proceeded to tell him the story of Alice's restaurant, Massacre, with full orchestration and five-part harmony and stuff like that, and then all the phenomena stopped me right there. Said, kid, did you ever go to court? I proceeded to tell him the story of the 27 8x10 colored glossy pictures with the circles and arrows and a paragraph on the back of each one, and stopped me right there and said, kid, I want you to go over and sit down on that bench that says Group W. Now, kid! And I walked over to the bench there, and there's Group W is where they put you if you may not be moral enough to join the army after committing your special crime. And there was all kinds of mean, nasty, ugly-looking people on the bench. There's mother rapers, father stabbers, father rapers. Father rapers sitting right there on the bench next to me, and one, it was mean and nasty and ugly and horrible and crime-fighting guys are sitting there on the bench. And the meanest, ugliest, nastiest one, the meanest father raper of them all, was coming over to me, and he was mean and ugly and nasty and horrible and all kinds of things. And he sat down next to me and said, kid, what'd you get? Said, I didn't get nothing. I had to pay $50 and pick up the garbage. I said, what were you arrested for, kid? And said littering. And they all moved away from me on the bench there to carry our bone, all kinds of mean, nasty things, till I said, and creating a nuisance. And they all came back, shook my hand, and we had a great time on the bench talking about crime, mother stabbing, father raping, all kinds of groovy things that we was talking about on the bench. And everything was fine, we were smoking cigarettes and all kinds of things, until the sergeant came over, had some paper in his hand, held it up and said, kids, this piece of paper's got 47 words, 37 cents, it's 58 words. We want to know details of crime, time, crime, and else kind of thing. Got to say, time, tune about the crime. Want to know the rest of the officer's name, and else kind of thing. You got to say, and talk for 45 minutes, and nobody understood a word that he said. But we had fun filling out the forms and playing with the pencils on the bench there. I filled out the massacre with the four-part harmony and wrote it down there just like it was, and everything was fine. And I put down a pencil and I turned over the piece of paper, and there on the other side, in the middle of the other side, away from everything else on the other side, in parentheses, capital letters, quotated, read the following words. Kid, you rehabilitated yourself. I went over to the sergeant and said, Sergeant, you've got a lot of damn gall to ask me if I've rehabilitated myself. I'm sitting here on a bench. I mean, I'm sitting here on the Group W bench, 'cause you want to know if I'm moral enough to join the army, burn women, kids, houses, and villages after being a litter bug. He looked at me and said, Kid, we don't like your kind, and we're gonna send your fingerprints off to Washington, and friends, somewhere in Washington, enshrined in some little folder, is a study in black and white of my fingerprints. And the only reason I'm singing you the song now is 'cause of your situation. Or you may be in a similar situation, and if you're in a situation like that, there's only one thing you can do, is walk into the shrink wherever you are. Just walk in and say, shrink, you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant, and walk out. You know, if one person, just one person does it, they may think he's, and they won't take him. And if two people do it in harmony, they think they're both faggots, and it won't take either of them. And if three people do it, can you imagine three people walking in, singing a bar, Alice's restaurant, and walking out? They may think it's an organization. And can you imagine 50 people a day? I said 50 people a day walking in, singing a bar, Alice's restaurant, and walking out. And friends, they may think it's a movement. And that's what it is. The Alice's Restaurant Anti-Massacre Movement. And all you gotta do to join is to sing it the next time it comes around on the guitar with feeling. So we'll wait till it comes around on the guitar here. Sing it when it does. Here it comes. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. That was horrible. One end Warren stuff, you gotta sing loud. You could put a lot. I've been singing the song now for 25 minutes. I could sing it for another 25 minutes. I'm not proud or tired. So we'll wait till it comes around again, and this time with four-part harmony in the feeling. We're just waiting for it to come around is what we're doing. Anything you want at Alice's restaurant, excepting Alice. You can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Say, walk right in, it's around the back, and just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Da 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 da. At Alice's restaurant.
Oh dear, oh dear, we're coming up to the country to get one of those free-range turkeys.
Oh yeah, I love the free-range turkey. Which one should we pick? That one's got one of the big gobblers on it.
Oh, well, honey, I love one with a giant gobbler on it. Please, please pick that one. He looks like such a cutie pie. I would like a turkey that has a fat breast. I like to sauté the breast in a stick of butter.
I don't know if I want to bring that turkey back. He looks a little rancid.
No, no, that turkey's got a lovely cut to him. I can see his eyes. They're very shiny.
Now, that turkey looks like he could hurt you. I don't really know, huh? Look at that turkey. Oh, boy. That turkey looks like he could rip your face off.
Oh, my. We've got to get that turkey. He's running around in circles. Throw a rock at his head immediately, please. I don't want him to get away. He looks like a violent felon. I want that turkey on my platter. Get him. He's running away.
I can't get him. He's biting my leg off. Oh, my God. That turkey's the size of a horse.
No, no, I want that turkey over there, dear. He looks free range. He looks like a free range turkey.
That's not a free range turkey. That's a wild animal. It's gonna bite your face off.
Oh no, he looks delicious. I can't wait to get my fork into his face and start chewing on his beak and his little gobbler. I want to chew his gobbler off, please.
Ah, watch out. He looks like he could hurt you. Looks like he could take your whole leg off with just one beak swipe.
Oh, my. He is a big fellow. I'm not sure I want to mess around with a turkey like that. He's quite a rough customer, isn't he?
Yeah, you better think twice. We might want to get one of those smaller turkeys, one of those little hens.
Oh, honey, I don't want a hen. I want a giant turkey for Thanksgiving Day. I want to put stuffing in him and butter sticks.
I'd think twice. He looks like he's got a mean look. He might just rip your nose off and eat it for lunch.
Oh, honey, can't you hit him with a stick? Hit him with a stick. I don't want to come all the way upstate and not go back home with a free-range turkey. I love free-range turkey.
I don't know, honey. We might have to settle for that dead hen over in the corner. Looks like it was poisoned by some sort of pesticide.
No, no, I want this turkey right here. He fell over. I think maybe he ate some of that pesticide.
Yeah, pretty sure he ate some of that pesticide, because now he's not even gobbling anymore. He's barely gobbling. Oh, he's a cutie pie, though. I guess we could take this little desiccated tiny baby turkey home and fatten him up for next Thanksgiving. We could put him in a cage in the kitchen in our apartment in Manhattan, which was saved from being underwater because we live so far uptown. And all we do is come upstate and look for free-range turkeys. Well, I guess we could put him in a cage. It's no big deal. Let's see what the big deal is there. It's like a good little turkey there. Get him in the bag.
Time for the traditional true story of Thanksgiving, written by me in my second bestseller, 2.5 million copies in hardback, See, I Told You So. Chapter 6, Dead White Guys, or What the History Books Never Told You. The true story of Thanksgiving. The story of the Pilgrims begins in the early part of the 17th century. The Church of England under King James I was persecuting anyone and everyone who did not recognize its absolute civil and spiritual authority. Those who challenged ecclesiastical authority and those who believed strongly in freedom of worship were hunted down, imprisoned, and sometimes executed for their beliefs. A group of separatists first fled to Holland and established a community. After 11 years, about 40 of them agreed to make a perilous journey to the New World, where they would certainly face hardships, but could live and worship God according to the dictates of their own consciences. On August 1st, 1620, the Mayflower set sail. It carried a total of 102 passengers, including 40 pilgrims led by William Bradford. On the journey, Bradford set up an agreement, a contract, that established just and equal laws for all members of the new community, irrespective of their religious beliefs. Where did the revolutionary ideas expressed in the Mayflower Compact come from? They came from the Bible. The Pilgrims were a people completely steeped in the lessons of the Old and New Testaments. They looked to the ancient Israelites for their example. And because of the biblical precedent set forth in Scripture, they never doubted that their experiment would work. But it was no pleasure cruise. The journey to the New World was a long and arduous one. And when the Pilgrims landed in New England in November, they found, according to Bradford's detailed journal, a cold, barren, desolate wilderness. There were no friends to greet them, he wrote. There were no houses to shelter them. There were no inns where they could refresh themselves, and the sacrifice that they had made for freedom was just beginning. During the first winter, half the pilgrims, including Bradford's own wife, died of either starvation, sickness, or exposure. When spring finally came, Indians taught the settlers how to plant corn, fish for cod, and skin beavers for coats. Life improved for the pilgrims, but they did not yet prosper. And this is important to understand because this is where modern American history lessons often end. Thanksgiving is actually explained in some textbooks as a holiday for which the pilgrims gave thanks to the Indians for saving their lives, rather than as a devout expression of gratitude grounded in the tradition of both the Old and New Testaments. Here's the part that's been omitted. The original contract the pilgrims had entered into with their merchant sponsors in London called for everything they produced to go into a common store, and each member of the community was entitled to one common share. All of the land that they cleared and the houses they built belonged to the community as well, and they were going to distribute it equally. All the land they cleared, the houses they built, belonged to the community. Nobody owned anything. They just had a share in it. It was a commune. It was the forerunner to the communes we saw in the 60s and 70s out in California. And it was complete with organic vegetables even, just like the communes of today are. There's no question it was organic vegetables. Bradford, who had become the new governor of the colony, recognized that this form of collectivism was as costly and destructive to the pilgrims as that first harsh winter, which had taken so many lives. He decided to take bold action. Bradford assigned a plot of land to each family. to work and manage, thus turning